in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off once again with African football. Egypt, Madagascar, Senegal, and Tunisia are the first teams to qualify for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon after matches on Tuesday. The Pharaohs of Egypt, winners of a record 7 African titles, booked their place with a 2-0 road win over Eswatini, formerly Swaziland. Meanwhile, Madagascar earned its first ever Nations Cup qualification with a 1-0 victory over visiting Equatorial Guinea. The Lions of Teranga of Senegal advanced to Cameroon 2019 with a 1-0 road victory over Sudan. Midfielder Sidi Sarr scored an 86th-minute goal for the Lions of Teranga. In Group J, the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia remain the only African team with a perfect 100% record in qualifying, with a 2-1 victory over host Niger in Niamey. Fierce Shawat scored both goals for the Tunisians in his international debut. In Tuesday's other Nations Cup qualifying results, Comoros and visiting Morocco played to a 2-2 draw, while host Malawi and Cameroon were scoreless in Blantyre. Cameroon has qualified automatically as the Nations Cup host, and it looks like Morocco has the inside track to the other berth in Group B. In Group C, Burundi and visiting Mali played to a 1-1 draw in Bujumbura, while Gabon eliminated host South Sudan 1-0 on a 48th-minute goal by Andre Poco. Mali with 8 points, Gabon with 7 points, and Burundi with 6 points all remain in contention for Cameroon 2019. In Group D, Benin edged visiting Algeria 1-0 on a 16th-minute goal by Cesc D'Almeida, who plays in the fourth tier of English football for Yeovil Town. In the other group match, Fulham's Floyd Ayite scored late for Togo in a 1-0 win in Gambia. Algeria and Benin now have 7 points each in Group D. Togo has 5 points and Gambia has 2 points. In Group E, three-time African champion Nigeria moved to the top of the standings with a 3-2 victory over Libya in Tunisia. China-based Odion Ighalo, who scored a hat trick against the Libyans 4 days ago, scored 2 more goals for Nigeria on Tuesday. And Ahmed Musa had the other goal for the Super Eagles, who now have 9 points from 4 qualifiers. The Seychelles and visiting South Africa played to a scoreless draw in the group's other match. Group E now looks like this: Nigeria with 9 points, South Africa with 8 points, Libya with 4 points, and the Seychelles with 1 point has been eliminated. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to Group G in African Nations Cup qualifying and Tuesday's results, Zimbabwe and the visiting Democratic Republic of Congo played to a 1-1 draw in Harare, and host Liberia defeated Congo Brazzaville 2-1 in Monrovia. The Warriors of Zimbabwe lead this group with 8 points from 4 qualifiers, followed by the DR Congo with 5 points and Congo Brazzaville and Liberia with 4 points each. In Group H qualifying results Tuesday, Rwanda and visiting Guinea played to a 1-1 draw in Kigali, and the host Central African Republic and Ivory Coast were scoreless in Bangui. Guinea tops Group H with 10 points, followed by Ivory Coast with 7 points, CAR with 4 points, and Rwanda with 1 point. In Group I, Mauritania moved into good position for its first ever Nations Cup qualification with a 1-0 win over visiting Angola. Adama Ba scored an 18th-minute goal for the Mauritanians, and host Botswana and Burkina Faso played to a scoreless draw. Mauritania leads this group with 9 points, followed by Burkina Faso with 7 points, Angola with 6 points, and Botswana with 1 point, which has been eliminated. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to Group K in African Nations Cup qualifying, and Tuesday's one result, Namibia beat visiting Mozambique 1-0 in Windhoek on a 73rd-minute goal by Peter Shalulile. The Namibians are now level on 7 points with Guinea-Bissau, which beat visiting Zambia 2-1 on Sunday. Mozambique and Zambia have 4 points each. Finally, in Group L and Tuesday's results, Tanzania top visiting Cape Verde 2-0 in Dar es Salaam, and Uganda scored a 2-0 road victory over Lesotho. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for Farouk Mia! Farouk Mia, who's based in Croatia and who scored both goals for the Cranes of Uganda. The Ugandans lead this group with 10 points from 4 qualifiers, followed by Tanzania with 5 points, Cape Verde with 4 points, and Lesotho with 2 points. The next round of African Nations Cup qualifiers will be in mid-November, and the final round in late March 2019. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Major League Baseball playoffs continue later Wednesday with games in Houston, Texas, and Los Angeles, California. And joining us now from Palm Springs, California, is sports reporter Dan Friedel. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Sonny. Good to be here. It's early morning here on the west coast of the United States, but I'm always happy to talk baseball with you.
Well, Dan, give our VOA listeners a sense of the proximity of Palm Springs to Los Angeles.
Palm Springs, for our listeners who don't really know the geography of Southern California, is a vacation/resort community about 100 miles to the east of Los Angeles. Also about 100 miles to the east of San Diego, there are a lot of baseball fans in this area. There also are plenty of baseball fans from the eastern United States teams because this is a vacation spot for people who live in places like Chicago who want to get away from the harsh winter weather and enjoy the more temperate climate here in the Southern California desert. There are a lot of Dodgers fans here because it's just about two and a half hours on a good traffic day to Chavez Ravine, which is the home of the Los Angeles Dodgers for over 50 years since they moved from Brooklyn.
Well, Dan, those Dodgers fans had to be happy with Cody Bellinger. He had what's being called the clutch hit of a lifetime, 2-out RBI single in the bottom of the 13th inning as the Dodgers outlasted the Milwaukee Brewers 2-1 in Game 4. That series now tied at 2 games all. Let's listen to what Bellinger had to say at the post-game news conference about his big hit.
That's probably a feeling that you won't forget, seeing your guys chase after you. Honestly, I was surprised that they were throwing at me. I thought they were going to try and pitch around me and get me to swing. And once I saw that they were attacking me, it was just it was kind of grind mode and do what you can, put the ball in play, and try and end this game.
Bellinger is a young player. He was kind of a surprising addition to the Dodgers a couple of years ago without playing much in the major leagues before starting his first full season in the big leagues with the Dodgers partway through that season and wound up hitting a lot of home runs. This second year of his career with the Dodgers, he was expected to be one of the National League's top hitters and while he's still a dangerous hitter, he was struggling a little bit during this season, and the struggles continued in the playoffs with the series against Milwaukee and the earlier series against Colorado. Bellinger with the runner on second base, Manny Machado, who was involved in a controversial play earlier in the game, hit a single that scored Machado and ended the game a little bit after 3 in the morning East Coast time, a little bit after midnight here in the West Coast. One of the longest National League Championship Series games in history, and actually the first time that there was a postseason winning game in Dodger Stadium that went deep into extra innings in 40 years. So a big night for the Dodgers and their fans who stayed up late.
This National League Championship Series now goes to Game 5. Bellinger feels like the Dodgers have changed the momentum. They'll have Clayton Kershaw, their ace, on the mound in Game 5. How do you see this series now, Dan?
The Dodgers certainly have the opportunity to send the series back to Milwaukee with the Brewers on their heels. We talked about this not too long ago, that the Brewers have never been to the World Series as a member of the American League in the first part of their tenure in Milwaukee, nor as a member of the National League in their more recent tenure in Milwaukee. If the Dodgers can make it to Milwaukee with a 3-1 lead, it'll be a tough bounce back for the Brewers. But they'll be the home team in Milwaukee. They'll have a chance to win 2 games, possibly. Clayton Kershaw, one of the best pitchers in the National League in his career. He's struggled in the National League playoffs. And, you know, this is a good chance for the Dodgers to establish themselves as the team with the upper hand if Kershaw can pitch a gem. And he's really struggled in the playoffs in his career, so it's not a guarantee. The interesting thing is that this game is going to start just after 2 o'clock on the West Coast, with the table being set for the big game in Houston later on this evening between the Astros and the Boston Red Sox. So by the time that game starts, we'll know the status of the LA-Milwaukee series as it goes back to Milwaukee. Kershaw is a great pitcher. He's going up against not quite as much of an established pitcher on the Brewers' side. But I think this game will probably come down to the bullpens, who are exhausted after pitching so many innings last night. Both teams went deep, deep into their roster of bullpen arms as the game went into the 13th inning. The Brewers are going to throw Wade Miley, a pitcher who's bounced around a little bit in his major league career, and he's going to be pitching a day early. So Kershaw rested. I'm sure they sent him home early last night when the game started getting late. I would have to say that the Dodgers are the favorites for the game coming up later today.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Dan Friedel about the Major League Baseball playoffs. Dan, you mentioned that American League Championship Series between the Red Sox and the Astros. The Red Sox lead 2-1 heading into Game 4 after an 8-2 victory in Game 3. Jackie Bradley Jr., the hitting hero for the Red Sox, 2-out grand slam in the top of the 8th inning. Jackie told reporters after the game that he's always tried to keep his emotions in check.
I've never, I guess, really been, over the top. I heard this saying from one of my coaches back in the day. He said, "No one should ever know whether you're winning or losing. Kind of keep the same temperament. That way it'll allow you to put some perspective into things." So I kind of took that to heart, and I'll never get too high and I'll never get too low.
Jackie Bradley, when he started his career as a major league player with the Red Sox, he was seen as a key piece to the future of the Red Sox fortunes, coming off of this historic run that they had in the middle part of the first decade of the 2000s, winning a couple of World Series and breaking the long-running quote-unquote curse with their Major League Baseball World Series title in 2004, which they famously won the World Series after coming back in their American League Championship Series against the hated New York Yankees, who they defeated in an earlier round of this year's playoffs. But Bradley has struggled the last couple of years. I think a lot of people thought that his struggles late last year, he'd have the entire offseason to regroup and practice hitting again, perhaps make a couple of changes. And he started out in the 2018 season really, really struggling. He was only getting hits about 20% of the time that he came to bat. And a lot of the fans in Boston were turning their backs on him, not literally, but figuratively, thinking that maybe his time in Boston should come to an end and that the Red Sox management should find a way to trade him to another team, perhaps pick up some prospects. But Bradley started turning things around slowly as the 2018 season progressed into the summer, and he's been outstanding in the playoffs for the Red Sox. He hit what's called a grand slam, which means he hit a home run, with three runners on base in the pivotal eighth inning to put the Red Sox on top in what many expected would be an Astros win, the first game of the series being played in Houston. So the Red Sox have probably turned this series on its ear a little bit, setting up game four coming up later tonight.
Dan, some have described this series between the Red Sox and the defending World Series champion Astros as the real World Series. Your thoughts?
I think that, especially as our listeners know, that I'm a Cleveland sports fan by birth. I actually was in Cleveland while the Astros were dismantling the Cleveland Indians in the first round of the playoffs, winning that series 3-0, hardly surrendering any hits to a powerful Cleveland offense, getting a lot of hits themselves against what people thought might have been the strongest pitching staff in these playoffs. The Astros came into this series against Boston on a roll. They won the first game fairly easily, 7-2. The Astros are the defending World Series champions. They've been here before. They've overcome some odds. If you remember, in the playoffs last year, they were winning games in extra innings against the Yankees and winning games in extra innings against the Dodgers in the World Series. Lots of people thought that this Houston team, they're the World Series champions in 2017, and they're actually better in 2018. And there was no reason to doubt that, except for now the fact that they've lost two games in a row to the Red Sox. We'll see what happens. I mean, the game later on tonight should be an important chance for fans to see which way this series is going to go. Interestingly, the history of the Astros so far this year is that they play better on the road than at home. This game, however, they really have to find a way to win at home. Otherwise, they're going to be up against it if they go back to Boston with the deficit in the series.
Dan, we hope to chat with you again during baseball's World Series. In the meantime, enjoy your stay in sunny and scenic Palm Springs.
Thanks, Sonny. I'll be happy to talk to you again sometime soon, and I'm excited to be able to pay attention to the beginning of the NBA season out here. The nice thing about being on the West Coast is that all of these games in the East start really early for me, and I can go to bed on time.
All right. Thanks, Dan. That's sports reporter and occasional Sunny Side of Sports host, Dan Friedel. And Dan was talking with me from Palm Springs, California. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Olympic great Usain Bolt is making headlines down under in Australia. And joining us now with an update is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Back in August, I mentioned Usain Bolt touched down in Sydney, Australia, eager to trade in his track shoes for soccer cleats. Over the past 2 months, Usain has been training with the Central Coast Mariners, hoping to be molded into A-League material to realize his dream of becoming a professional footballer. footballer. Well, it looks like his dream is now within reach. On Friday, Usain played in a trial match against MacArthur Southwest United, and 57 minutes into the game, he scored his first of two goals. He, of course, celebrated with his trademark lightning bolt pose. And after the match, he told reporters that first goal was a big relief.
It was brilliant, you know what I mean? It takes all the weight off your shoulders, you know what I mean? That first goal to relax you, because I'd missed one earlier, which I wasn't happy with myself. But when scoring, it was just a great feeling. I was happy about it, and it took a weight off my shoulders.
Usain's goals helped lift the Mariners to a 4-0 victory and attracted some attention from potential European suitors, specifically the Maltese Champions League team Valletta FC. Usain was offered a 2-year contract to play with the club, but on Wednesday, Usain's agent confirmed that the Olympic gold medalist turned it down. Valletta hoped Usain would help them take on the likes of Manchester United and Barcelona in the next year. The club's chief executive officer, Gaston Sleeman, says he's inspired by Usain's journey and hoped to take his journey to the next level of professional football. And despite Usain's decision to turn down the terms of the contract, Sleeman says the offer is always on the table. On Tuesday, the Central Coast Mariners chief executive chimed in and said Usain will continue his training period with the Mariners until further notice. For his part, Usain admitted that although his game is improving, he still has plenty of work ahead.
My position is much better. I think I'm doing much more in space. I'm running in space much better. I think controlling the ball, seeing the field, having better vision is my two poorest areas, but it has improved a lot since I've been here, but it could improve a lot more.
There are no reports on whether or not the Mariners are poised to offer Usain a contract, but EA Sports has confirmed that Usain will be added to the popular FIFA 19 video game, either as a signed player or a free agent. The EA spokesman added, Usain will be the fastest player in the game. Dreams quickly coming true for Usain Bolt. I'll keep you posted. And that's all from me. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association officially tipped off its 73rd season Tuesday night with home victories by the Boston Celtics and the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors. Now, I don't think it's too far-fetched to say the Celtics and the Warriors could possibly meet down the road in the 2019 NBA Finals. I'm not guaranteeing it. I'm just saying possibly. In Boston, the Celtics beat the Philadelphia 76ers 105-87. Jason Tatum, one of the young stars on a Celtics roster loaded with young talent, led Boston with 23 points and 9 rebounds. Cameroonian center Joel Embiid led Philadelphia with 23 points and 10 rebounds. After the game, Embiid said, "It's not a rivalry between the Celtics and the 76ers because," in his words, "I don't know our record against them, but it's pretty bad." Meanwhile, the Golden State Warriors opened defense of their NBA title with a 108-100 victory over the visiting Oklahoma City Thunder. Two-time league most valuable player Stephen Curry had 32 points, 9 assists, and 8 rebounds, while Kevin Durant added 27 points and 8 rebounds. The Warriors are aiming for their third consecutive NBA championship. They received their 2018 championship rings in a pregame ceremony in Oakland, California. And that wraps up the October 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Wagner Roberts. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll talk about Africa's land ownership and the challenge of land reform. We'll examine Africa's land redistribution and the fundamental issue of land inequality on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.